Before we knew hope, there was only existing, languishing, scrambling to find security and build stability. Just make it to tomorrow, we'd tell ourselves. Even still, we knew we were but vapor in the wind. Yet something made us hang on. Why did we think we had a chance? It came first from the lips of ancient prophets. Whispers. Rumors. Someone was coming, the kings and poets claimed. A redeemer who lives, one said. Someone to save us all. People talked, events foreshadowed. Who was this who stirred so much hope? What business did we have in hoping at all? We lived troubled lives, caused much of it ourselves. That was our story, wasn't it? Live only to die in the end. Then, in the dead of night, under an extraordinary star, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and hope is no longer a rumor or whisper or disappearing shadow. Hope is born.
Good morning, and a very blessed Christmas to you. I hope you can join us for lunch after this, because that's where a lot of good stuff happens. And I don't mean just the food. You know, it really struck me that after hearing these testimonies, that Christianity and the life that God gives to us is based upon something that really happened. What say you? Not just what we are hoping to do to make something happen, but it's predicated upon something that really happened. And if it really happened to 2,000 years ago, and that happening really took place, okay, it really took place, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. It is not based upon me trying to do a lot of things so that something will happen. It's based upon something that happened that now affects my life. What say you? Okay, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I keep on saying turn with me to Luke chapter 2, but hardly anybody is here that has a Bible to turn to, because it's all up there. And we'll read some verses of the Christmas story. Yeah, let's read it from verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And at that time, Jerusalem was part. Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem, all was all part of the province of Syria under the Romans. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, not just for you, but for all the people. It will affect all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among them with whom he is pleased. Or a better translation is, and with among peace among those who God has goodwill towards. Yeah. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 16, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. What a great story. It's a story that took place 2,000 years ago, but has great relevance for us. These shepherds, though, I think it's instructive for us to just say something about these shepherds. These shepherds, according to Josephus, the historian, were actually not owners of the sheep. They were actually what you call hirelings. That means they were hired by the owners to actually take care of the sheep, because the owners would not be actually doing this at night. Yeah, the owners would be sleeping. And historical records speak about the fact that there were these plots of land in which sheep were taken care of just outside Jerusalem, around the Bethlehem area. And most probably these sheep were used for sacrifice in the temple. Yeah, most probably used for sacrifice in the temple. Josephus, the historian, says that these people who were referred to were people that did not have a good reputation. They were one of the lowest form classes in society. They were not respected. They were actually disrespected a lot of times. They were not considered people which had a future. They had no career track in front of them. They had no ownership. They were very poor. In fact, it is said that they were so poor that they could not pay the temple tax. And so because of that, they could not enter into the temple, because of the corruption of the Sanhedrin, the ruling class. And so what you have is a situation in which a group of people who are taking care of sheep, the most depressed and the most hopeless, the most possessors of no future, yeah, were out there. They were the last people to be included in any kind of social socially important thing. These were the shepherds. And what was really interesting is that it was these shepherds who got news about this huge thing that was taking place. Yeah, I would say that the shepherds were the most excluded group at that time. These shepherds were what we sometimes call hirelings. Yeah, they were called hirelings. They were hired to take care of sheep, and they had to bear the brunt of the cold nights. They had to bear the brunt of the shame of not having any status in society. Yeah, and so it's to these that the good news came. And so verse 8, it says, in the same region there were shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the amazing thing is this: not by virtue of their status, not by virtue of their righteousness, not by virtue of their past, their august reputation, but by virtue of God's grace, the message of Christ's birth came to them, of all people. Of all people to them. But I want to say something about this. It's not just that They were privileged to hear the news. There's something to that. It's not just that the fact that they were the most despised in society, but God chose them to hear the news. There is that too. The thing about it is this. They got to hear news of something that took place, that happened. You see, look at the verse 10 onwards. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Okay? This is the response of the shepherds, and we can find this in verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." That is not just referring to the fact that the angels came to them. That's not the big story. The big story is that something took place bigger than the fact that they got a message. The thing that took place was that God came to redeem his people. The thing that had happened is that Christ came, the anointed one, to save people from their sins, to save their people from their hopelessness, save people from their separation from God. The thing that had happened was not just that the fact that the angels appeared in technicolor all over the sky. It's not just that. It's not just the fact that God spoke to them, but the fact that Christ was born. And he came, you know, the prophets prophesied that unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The prophets prophesied that there would be God who would come and would not stand apart from us, but he would be Emmanuel, God with us. That he would become so with us that he would carry upon himself the burden of our sins, the burden of our diseases, the burden of our shame, the burden of our past, the burden of our trappedness, our imprisonment, our bondage, our addiction, our sin, our evil, our darkness. He would carry them upon himself. The message was that this has taken place. That this has happened. That this was a reality for them now. The Messiah that they had been waiting for, that would relieve them of all their burdens, had come. And you have every right to be excited about it. And the shepherd said, "Let us go and find out this thing that has happened." You see, the thing happened. The thing was not hoped to happen. The thing happened already. I don't think you're getting it. When I was in high school in the 70s, okay, news appeared in the newspapers in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, that the authorities had found a very, very old man hiding in the jungle. He was Japanese. He still had his military uniform on from World War II. His company had been cut off by the Gurkhas, the Allied forces, and he ran and hid himself in a very special place in the jungle and learned how to survive throughout that time. To escape the British forces that were there, he lived on literally nuts and berries, Malaysian nuts and berries. I'd like to say mangoes and all, but no, there was no such luxury. He did not know that in 1945, The Japanese surrendered to the British, and the British took over. And all an armistice was given to all the Japanese soldiers who were still in the Malaysian Peninsula. What had happened in 1945 is that peace had come. But as far as this Japanese soldier was concerned, peace had not come. Does that make sense? Something had happened that would grant him armistice, that he could go back to his own country and go back to his own village and carry on with his life, but he did not know it. Something had happened, and his freedom was predicated upon the fact that peace had happened. Does that make sense? But was he enjoying it? Not much. Not much. So when they found him, he took out his gun that didn't work. And they just said, "It's okay, don't worry, don't worry. We'll take you home. You can go home now." And he wept and wept and wept and wept that he could actually go home. And the Malaysian government flew him back to Japan. Isn't that amazing? Something happened. And Christmas is about something that happened. The thing that happened is infinitely decisive. What happened was that God came and took upon himself your shame, your fear, your lack of future, your hopelessness, and your suffering upon himself. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. The prophets looked forward to the time when it would be said that the people who walked in darkness would see a great light. So for people who were in darkness, it was unthinkable that that there would be a great light that would be there. That the contrast between now and later and what was supposed to happen after it happened would be that great that darkness could be turned into light. They were not the Japanese soldier, and actually I heard that there were this happened in other countries as well. There were these incidents, isolated incidents, of some of these Japanese soldiers who were living in a period in which something had taken place that would give them freedom and armistice, but they were not enjoying it. And amazing, isn't it? May I say to you that Christmas is predicated upon the fact that something happened, and the thing that happened is decisive for your life and my life. Many people live external to it. Many people live with respect to this thing that has happened in such a way that what happened has no effect upon their lives. They are external to it. And what I want to show you, if possible, is the way in which the shepherds, who are excluded from life, excluded from anything good, were brought into something that happened. And not only did they be brought into something that happened, they were entered. They entered into the joy of it. May I say to you that Christmas is not just based upon us trying to be happy and try to be good or try to be kind for at least one day or at least for a season, so that we can attain unto happiness. You know, joy to the world. Many people who sing joy to the world, they sing it with a hope that somehow by singing it, joy will come. No, Christianity is not based upon that. Christianity, may I suggest, is the only religion that says that all the good and all the redemption that comes to us is not based upon you trying to redeem yourself. Not you trying to alleviate your burdens, but by the fact that Christ has come. And something really decisive happened. That when he came, he destroyed every power of sin, condemnation, every shame, every disease, so that when I come up and speak, it is based upon the fact that Kim and Justin experienced something that happened in their lives, and what we are saying is that it can happen in all of our lives. That is so solid, you know? What do you think? It is so solid that the fact that our faith is not based upon the fact that if you be good and you try very, 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 very hard, something good will happen to you. It's based upon the fact that something happened that paid the price for all the reasons why I should not be happy, should not feel free. And it was done, it was paid for 2,000 years ago. And what's being called forth for me is that I enter into it. The shepherds entered into it. They said, let's go see. What say you? Christmas, at least, the least you can do is that, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. What say you? Which God has told us about, has spoken to us, has informed us about. Two things can happen for us. Something happens out there. And I can be in it or I can be out of it. What say you? Let me give you an example. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. Sonia's birthday. It's her birthday. We'll celebrate her birthday. It's possible for me to say, I'm not in this because it's not my birthday. What do you say? I can be a morose person and say, bah, humbug. It's Sonia's birthday. I'm external to this experience. The fact that something wonderful happened, Sonia was born 27 years ago. And we are all celebrating it. I can be in it or I can be out of it. True? It's possible for me to say, that's your birthday. I have no part in it. It's your birthday. It's not my birthday. Why should I be involved in it? So much so that when I think of the fact that it's Sonia's birthday, she's now the grand old age of 27, I can say that has nothing to do with me. I can say, I wish I was 27. I'm going to eat better now so that I'll be closer to 27. But really what's happening is that there are events that have happened, that happenings that take place. And you can be in it or you're out of it. Christmas is the fact that when we have Advent, we prepare ourselves for something that has happened. Christ has come. And when he came, he went to the cross and carried upon himself every burden of guilt and shame that you and I should have. He carried upon himself, in Isaiah 53, it says, all our sorrows, our burdens, and by his stripes we are healed. It happened already. There is nothing you can do to unhappen it. That is why Christianity is based on something so solid that it challenges us to come and see whether it's true or not. What say you? And so the shepherds, I love the shepherds. It's the most natural thing. The angel said to them, unto you it is born. Unto you it is born. Isaiah said, for unto us is born a child. Do you know what that means? That external things that happenings, are not external to you. It is unto you. It's for you. It's directed to you. It applies to you. It's relevant to you. Huh? I was like one of the shepherds when I was in my 20s. I've been brought up in a Christian family, and for all my life, I felt like I was on the outside of something wonderful happening to some people. And I felt that I could not be a party to this because of my sinfulness, my lack of good in being good enough. For some good reason, God somehow knew that I could not be included in all this joy and this feeling of God's presence and God's personally being involved and all the miracles that other people were happening. I thought God had a good reason for excluding me in all this. So when I would come to church, I would hear testimonies about something like what we just heard, right? I had never been touched by God. I never shed a tear about God. I never been moved by God. I felt like I was just like a cold as a fish, as far as God is concerned. It was as if when people spoke about Christ dying on the cross and all that, I just thought it was just some event that took place, but I was external to the event. Does that make any sense? I was external to the event. I did not know that events like we are describing were meant to include me. They were something that Christ had paid the price for. He had laid out the table, and all he required for me is to come and taste and see that it is good. Christmas is about checking it out. What say you? Check it out. See whether it's real or not. Don't wait before you can logically work it out. The best scientific procedure is to actually go out and check it out. What say you? Check it out and see whether God actually does do what he said he has already done. So, I was sitting for my exams. I was an undergraduate at that time, and my family and I, and in fact mostly most of my church, believed the Bible, but tacitly we didn't believe that these things could happen to us. I wonder whether any of you have had that experience. You feel the Bible is true, you believe it, you're a Christian. You believe the Bible, but it's all hypothetical and theoretical. You do believe that it happened, but you don't believe that what happened would include you in the inside logic of it, in the inside dynamics of what happened. And so I've always felt that I was specially chosen not to be chosen by God. I would go to a meeting and everybody else would be weeping and crying and being touched by God, and I'll be the only one who's not. I remember going for a meeting once in which there was this man who was praying for people, and people would be just visibly, physically touched by God. And many of them would fall to the ground and just weeping before the Lord. Then he came to me to pray for me. When he prayed, he fell on the ground. And I felt completely dry, completely rejected by God. I don't know whether any of you have felt that, but I definitely felt that for a long time, 22 years. And then I heard, along with my parents, my family, that God has been moving in Kuala Lumpur in a way that sounds like what had happened during Bible days. And many doctors were expressing complete astonishment that when they came to God, because the Holy Spirit was moving in KL, and many, many businessmen, professionals, lawyers, doctors, dentists, and all that were coming back to the Lord. And when they came back to the Lord, they would pray for their patients, and their patients would get healed. Just like in the Bible. My parents thought, does that still even happen? And there was one particular doctor who had been a church member for several years, and then he went away from the Lord. And my uncle, who was an elder of the church, went to go and find him and see whether he could restore him. And when he went to see this doctor, he was shocked to find that this doctor had come back to the Lord. His wife had had cancer, but God had healed her. And they were both on fire for God. And they had opened up a meeting in their during the lunchtime in their clinic. And there were 50, 60 people who were jamming that place and hungry for the Lord. There was a revival that was taking place in KL. And I was having my exams and watching my parents watching how they would respond to that. And my father and my mother were very, very dry spiritually. It's like everything was up in their head. And they were saying, could it be for us? Could it be for us? And so they started going for his meetings and found out that in KL, God's Spirit was moving in way more places than just his clinic. There were so many businessmen that were actually being healed, teachers, lawyers, you know, just every profession, God was moving. And my parents asked the question, could it happen to us? Are we included in all that God was doing? I was having my exam, so I couldn't be a part of it. So I realized that God was doing something, and I could not participate in it because of my exams. But after my exams are over, man, I was hungry. And the sense of these big questions that I had within me, question of whether God really could include me, that could be real to me, could redeem me, could change me, begin to arise. I wonder whether any of you have had that experience. It's just like, is this real? Is it real? Is it really true what the Bible says? The Bible never asks us to try to reason it out until we find the conclusion. The Bible just says, come and taste and see. Come and taste and see. I have the privilege of speaking, not just to convince you, but to say, based upon everything that I'm saying, based upon the fact that it happened. And it happened to me. But I realized that in order for that to happen to me, I had to open myself to be in on the circle of this happening, just like the shepherds. And God was saying, give your life to me and test me out. Sure, let me show you. What say you? I'll give you an opportunity at the end of this service to receive prayer if you like. If you're seeking for God and you're asking God, could you touch me? Could it be that all the years that I have been hankering on to see whether God is real, that those years could actually end and I could actually be included in, brought into the circle of God's intimacy? There were some who did not want to do it, even though this immense, infinitely decisive thing had taken place. The owners of the inn had no place for Jesus. At the end of this episode, I don't even know whether the owners of the inn that could find no place for Jesus knew what was happening. It's possible for the most decisive thing in the world to happen, and yet we who are closest to it didn't even know anything that happened. Herod was another person in which, even though this tremendous thing of God's love had taken place that would change all of history, that would transform us completely, had come for him, he just killed it, literally. He killed every person who was 2 years and under because he wanted to be the king. And he had heard from the magi, from the wise men from the east, that a king of Israel
was born. And he did not want anyone except himself to be king. So he never entered into the joy of it. He never entered into it because he wanted to be king. The innkeepers never entered into it because they had no place for him. But if you have place for him, and if you would love Jesus to be real, make God real in your life, and you would let him be king, what happened has already happened for you. And so the angel said, for unto you, directed towards you, is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen? What say you? I want to invite you to receive him. And put it this way, I have found with many of my friends who have never experienced the Lord, I would always tell them, well, if you don't know whether God is real, ask him to reveal himself to you and give him a chance. If he doesn't, then you can forget about it. You can forget about it. But if he does, make him your Lord. I can say safely that there's been almost none who have not found that God was real in their life. I remember there was a man from Colorado, an atheist, who was really seeking God. And so he came to me, he said, I can't for the life of me get my mind around the atonement. I can't get my mind around it. My heart can't accept it. I can't believe it. I can't believe the Bible. I want to know whether it's true. So I said, let's do an experiment. For 1 month, every day, pray to the Lord. Ask him to speak to you. He had a Bible with him. He had a Bible with him. Some of his girlfriend had given it to him. And he said, I have a Bible. I said, why don't you ask God to speak to you from the Bible? Every day, come to him and just conduct this experiment. Ask God, if you are thinking about me, give me something to read that speaks to me. Speak to me. And I told him he could speak to you through that. He could speak to you through a dream. He could speak to you through a vision. He could speak to you through someone. And by so many coincidences, you may hear the same thing being spoken by different people. But if you open yourself to the Lord and you say, Lord, if you want to show yourself that you really have some connection with me, do it. You know what? He came back to me. He said, Michael, I almost had a nervous breakdown. Because I'm finding that when I read the Bible, everywhere I turn to, I just flip the Bible and I find it's speaking to me. It's almost reading my mind. I said, well, don't get too excited. You know, if it's really God, then there should be more than that. So he said, he came back to me 2 weeks later and says, Michael, I can't stand it. God is banging on my door. What must I do? And he will receive the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I wonder what need you have. What hunger that is there. The shepherds responded to God in a way that was immediate. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing. You notice that the angels didn't give them a roadmap, didn't give them instructions. There was no GPS. They just said, you'll find him there, wrapped in swaddling clothes. This is the sign. I don't even have road signs. The angel said, you'll find him in the inn. I hope there was only one inn. They could just go there. But they did. And they went there. And there they found him lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I love the fact that in Luke chapter 2, it says, when the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, they didn't dilly that dilly dally, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. It may be the first time ever that shepherds of this stripe were ever listened to. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And I love verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Isn't that amazing? That is a picture of how we can emotionally be entering into the thing that happened. A thing can happen, and you can be outside it or inside it. It didn't take a lot of faith for the shepherds to believe it. They just had to try it out. Amen. And joy came upon them. Praise came upon them. I want to be in on it. What say you? I want to be included. And God has included you and me. Whether you feel it or not, He's included in you. The way to know about it is to try it out and start walking in it. And that's what happened to me. For the first time in my life, no emotional experience happened. I said, okay, if God's word says this, I'm going to do it. My friend said, you can begin by praising Him with your hands raised. And I began to raise my hands. You can begin by asking God to speak to you. How? I said, don't know. He said, just ask God to lead you to certain places in the Bible that He wants to speak to you. But make it in such a way that it will take a miracle for you to experience God. Amen? And then God began to show Himself. I remember I had never gone up for an altar call after a certain age. Before that, I used to go up for altar calls all the time, hoping that an altar call will change me. And I never experienced anything of that reality. And now I was 22 years old. And I went with my friends to this special meeting where the Holy Spirit was present. And the preacher said, come up and receive prayer if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was so dry. Even a drop of the Holy Spirit would have been wonderful for me. So I went up. And the person who was there preaching prayed for me, and I didn't feel anything emotionally. After he prayed for me, I felt like I wanted God like I never wanted Him before. Something in my heart had shifted and changed. Then I've seen God work in tremendous ways, tremendously miraculous ways. I've seen the dead raised, I've seen the blind see, I've seen deaf hear. I've seen so many things happen since then. It's a walk of faith. And I want to invite you to just take that step. You will either find out that God is not real, or you will find that God is eminently real. But don't stay on the outside. Amen? Let us pray. Strategies that I've been used to try to cope with life. There are a few who are here, I believe, who feel I've not been included. I don't feel included by God. Some you feel because you don't feel good enough, or some you just feel an inherent imprint of exclusion. Shame, perhaps. Something happened 2,000 years ago that when Jesus came, he took upon himself, as only a God can, all our shame, all our rejection, all our sin, all our past, all our diseases, upon himself. Was born unto you, specifically you, specifically me, in such a way that because of that, you don't have to carry it upon yourself. I want to invite you to lay that burden upon him today. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you feel that that is the prayer of your heart, you can just say amen after that. Lord Jesus, if it's true that you bore all my burdens, that you came as Emmanuel, God with us, for me, that you didn't just got born unto the world in general, in the abstract sense, but for me specifically, I open myself to you. Change my heart, Lord. Give me a new heart. You say you will take out the heart of stone and put a new heart, a part of flesh in me. I ask you that you would do that. Come into my life, Lord. Take over. Show yourself real. I'll follow you. I want to go over to see this great thing that has happened. So come into my life. So I've confessed all my sins to you, and I said, there's no way I can improve myself. But I thank you that when you died on the cross, you died for all of them. You took them upon yourself so that I do not need to feel any guilt or the burden of my sin. Change me, Lord. Change my heart. There's someone I sense that today who has many, many built-up problems in your family. There's so much conflict in the family that you feel that you have lost any hope of it coming together again. And I feel the Lord saying, put that burden upon me. I will carry it for you. He's a redeemer. Give your life to him this Christmas, and what has happened will have happened to you. The shepherd said, let us go see what happened. Andre Crouch has a great song. He says, somebody told me about the joy that they had. Somebody told me that in sorrow they could be glad. I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. Today is the day for it to happen to you and to me. If God's been speaking to you as all eyes are closed, all heads bowed, and you want to say yes, amen to that, just lift up your hands and say, yes, I want that. That's for me as well. You may be a Christian, you may not be a non-Christian. It doesn't matter. Anyone else? Yes, I see you. Your hands. Anyone else? They're saying, yes, I want this. I want to be included. And I want to give my life to you, Lord. Anyone? Anyone else? Yes, I see many, many hands. God is moving. And this is the first step. We thank you, Lord, for Christmas, the celebration that we can be a part of, that you came to redeem us. So, Lord, we give our lives to you. We thank you for your great love for us, that you have not excluded us, that we have not been unchosen. We give our lives to you.